This is a knife I have in my hand. Have you gone mad, my sane husband? There was a knife, but I lost it.
Isn't it fascinating how the timing always lines up like a rigged game of dominoes? Just as the Epstein files start spilling out their filthy secrets, names, dates, and depraved dealings that could topple empires.
There are code words that suggest Jeffrey Epstein and his associates could maybe even be engaging in some sort of consumption. Is that human consumption?
The media machine cranks into overdrive with blatant distractions and a minimization press.
That bomb squad vehicle just pulled back in, but the two SWAT vehicles and the mobile command center are still out there somewhere. We were made aware of a location that they might be traveling to.
Election fraud gets criminally exposed in broad daylight with whistleblowers and evidence piling up like unpaid bills.
Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up. Not any big spikes. That's kind of what Greg was talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes, is that right?
Correct.
Smartmatic has its office in Caracas, and it's co-located with the Consejo National Electoral, the National Electoral Commission. And there's 150 Smartmatic engineers and 150 CNE engineers side by side. And they have two missions. Number one, steal elections. Number two, defeat audit. Study audit. How do different states and different localities
do
conduct
their audits?
Audit so that when they're audited, you defeat audit?
And suddenly the SAVE Act, that beacon of voter integrity, born of common sense, loses steam thanks to spineless politicians on both sides of the uniparty aisle playing footsie with the deep state.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought to the floor for a vote this week. What are your thoughts on that? Are you going to support the SAVE Act?
Not at all. It's a terrible idea. This notion that we want to put more obstacles in the paths of voters is just what Donald Trump wants, fewer people voting. I want every legal citizen in America to be able to vote without obstacles.
Do you think requiring an ID to vote in elections is making it harder?
It's more than that. It's more than an ID. It's proof that you were born in America. So what are we talking about, a passport or a birth certificate? Got one of those handy with you in your purse? I doubt it.
But no, we can't have the masses focusing on the actions of our overlords. Instead, it's wall-to-wall coverage of the Savannah Guthrie kidnapping saga on Fox News and every other propaganda puppet show with regurgitated monotony. But at least we at InfoWars can talk about the sheer volume of dirt they're burying under this avalanche of sensationalism.
Listen to me, because this isn't a reality TV show. This is entertainment. If this is handled wrong, we will have the Great Reset, and you'll be lucky if you're eating bugs. You'll probably be dead. And of course, now it's come out, Lex Wexner, as I told you 15 years ago, was the CIA, Mossad, MI6, mega spy chief running Epstein for George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Barr, putting him on the Trilateral Commission when he's 30 years old, on the commission, not just a subcommission.
The Trilateral Commission is some spooky stuff. People said it was some of the people that, the Illuminati, there's some mystery about it, people that ran the world. It was politicians, but David said most countries, the politicians get elected for 4 years or 8 years, separate from the royal families in England or in the Middle East. Someone's there for 4 years and then they're not there anymore. The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three major continents. So it was the North Americans, the Europeans, and the Asians. So he said to me, would you like to be on the trilateral commission? Now, I was 30 years old.
That's because they have to have a guy trained and ready that's doing the job who will do exactly as they say.
Meanwhile, the propaganda outlets aren't just non-reporting.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
It's with Mr. Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmianov. He was the son of a high-ranking Soviet Army officer. He had an outstanding career with the press agency of the Soviet Union. It turns out that this is also a front for the KGB. He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system, and he did this at great risk to his life. He certainly is one of the world's outstanding experts on the subject of Soviet propaganda and disinformation and active measures. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean?
Ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him.
Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes. What has this world come to? It's come to a world where drag kids actually exist.
And people do ketamine on a couch.
The next stage is destabilization. Economy.
There are some dire predictions on where the world economy is going.
Foreign relations.
Some of the world's superpowers could be on a collision course.
Defense systems.
The U.S. Army is cutting back its expectations due to, quote, unprecedented recruitment challenges.
The next stage, of course, is crisis.
Folks, we're in a crisis.
After crisis, you have so-called the period of normalization.
When we say getting back to normal, we mean something very different from what we're going through right now.
The demoralization process is basically completed already. I could never believe it when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. This is exactly what the KGB and Marxist-Leninist propaganda wants from Americans, to distract their opinion and attention from real issues of the United States, to have a bunch of duped Americans, then Americans who are healthy, physically fit, and alert to the reality.
What is your ideal political or social structure?
Communist utopia.
That's why my KGB instructors specifically made the point, try to get into filthy rich movie makers, intellectuals, cynical, egocentric people who can look into your eyes with angelic expression and tell you a lie. These are the people who KGB wanted very much to recruit. It's all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders. They are instrumental in the process of subversion only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. The psychological shock when they will see in future what the beautiful society of equality and social justice means in practice, obviously they will join the links of dissenters. The Marxist-Leninist regime does not tolerate these people. In future, these people will be simply squashed like cockroaches. Nobody is going to pay them nothing for their beautiful, noble ideas of equality. The United States is in a state of war. The initiator of this war is the world communist system.
The only solution is communist revolution.
That's why we need communists. That's what we need.
This is it. This is the last country of freedom and possibility.
Okay, so what do we do? What is your recommendation to the American people?
The immediate thing that comes to my mind is, of course, there must be a very strong national effort to educate people in the spirit of real patriotism, number one. Number two, to explain them the real danger of socialist, communist, whatever, welfare state, big brother government. If people will fail to grasp the impending danger, nothing ever can help United States. You may kiss goodbye to your freedom, including your precious lives. I know Americans don't like to listen to things which are unpleasant. I tried to get the message across. To my horror, nobody wanted even to listen, least of all to believe what I had to say. The time bomb is ticking. With every second, the disaster is coming closer and closer. Unlike myself, you will have nowhere to defect to. United States, wake up.
A lot going on over here. Buckle up, folks. We're going to keep our eye on what's going on right now in Congress. And there's something good happening today. Maybe, possibly. Attorney General Pam Bondi is going to be testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee today. We're expecting that to happen around 10 a.m. Eastern time. So, you know, I'm a little excited about that. We look forward to doing just that and to see what's going on, what's going to be happening over there. We're also, I should have started with this one. Happy birthday to Alex Jones. Today's his birthday. And, you know, a lot going on over here, but we got to wish the big boss a big old happy birthday as well. I also wanted to get something else as well. I want to talk a little bit about what's happening at the White House, because I know a lot of our audience isn't going to be too thrilled with this. But guess what? The Israeli prime minister is meeting with President Donald Trump later today. Not ideal, but he'll be at the White House in the Oval Office for it's going to be closed to the press, they say, but a closed press meeting with him, closed event, no media, but they will be meeting in the Oval Office. That's where we're going with this. That's expected to happen around 11 a.m. Eastern time. If they do somehow, some way allow the media there, we will definitely bring that to you. But for now, it just says it's closed to the press. We're also keeping our eye on a couple of other things as well. The president will be meeting with the special envoy of the UK at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time as well. So we got our eyes on that. But the reason why it was a little bit of a late delay for me is I'm trying to confirm information regarding the FAA. And I actually just got this update in. And, you know, I was trying to contact the Pentagon because I was hearing from sources that there was something with Fort Bliss going on. But I just posted this tweet. You may have seen it. We just posted this right now. The FAA is saying that the El Paso airspace is no longer closed. Now, initially, there was a report that came out from Fox, and I'll play it for you in just a second. But they claim that the airspace was closed. But according to the FAA, the temporary closure of the airspace over El Paso has been lifted. There's no longer, well, I guess they're saying there's no threat to commercial aviation. All flights will resume as normal. So obviously nothing about this screams normal to me, considering the fact that they closed it very last minute for 10 days. 10 days was what they were saying, and they were citing national security for the reason. This was actually the initial report that dropped just about an hour ago on Fox News. Take a listen.
The FAA is halting all flights to and from El Paso, Texas for 10 days. For unspecified special security reasons, and they're warning that any pilots who don't comply, quote, may be intercepted, detained, and interviewed by law enforcement. El Paso Airport confirming the news in a statement saying, in part, the FAA on short notice issued a temporary flight restriction halting all flights to and from El Paso. Commercial airlines operating out of El Paso are being informed of the restriction, which appears to be security related. Southwest, United, American, and Delta all operate flights there. And Fort Bliss Army Base is right next door.
As you heard, Fort Bliss is right next door, but apparently they're saying everything's A-OK. Now, I also did reach out to the Pentagon for comment. The Pentagon not giving comment as of yet, but said that they were waiting for the FAA to release their statement. So I'm expecting possibly we'll have something else there later. But as of right now, it looks like they're just trying to squash it and move on. But folks, 10 days as a temporary closure, and it randomly happened. This didn't seem planned at all. The commercial airlines are obviously very fired up about this because they were unaware. It can't just go away. We need an explanation as to finding out what was going on there. So we'll take a listen to that when we do get some more information. Obviously, they know I've inquired for further details so I could break it down for all of you. I want to bring you an update, though, on Arctic Frost, because, folks, These senators are really fired up that their own records were targeted, and they're not very happy about this. Now, again, I've been talking about this, and I've been telling you guys the real issue here isn't the fact that members in the Senate and Congress, in the House specifically, were targeted. The issues here all have a lot to do with what we've been talking about, the fact that our government has been surveilling us illegally for far too long. But the only reason why these senators are now getting fired up over the issue is because it affects them. It affects them. You see, they think that they are some type of special class and they don't have to abide by anything. And the fact that, oh, well, we keep extending FISA, we keep defending FISA for American citizens to be surveilled without, you know, any type of warrant. They're okay with that. But when it happens to them, they're fired up. Well, yesterday on the Hill, there was also testimony being given by a lot of the cell phone providers. AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon were there. Now, T-Mobile and AT&T did send their CEOs to speak, but Verizon didn't. And Senator John Kennedy, in clip two, ripped into the Verizon lawyer who was there rather than the CEO. Take a listen.
Mr. Miller, you're the general counsel of Verizon, is that right?
Of our consumer group, Senator.
Who is your CEO?
Dan Schulman is the CEO.
Could you get closer to the mic, please?
Dan Schulman is
the
CEO.
Why isn't he here today?
Senator, I understood that you wanted a legal department representative here.
No, we invited him. Why didn't he come?
Senator, that was my understanding is that you were looking for legal department testimony.
Well, does he know you're here?
Yes, Senator.
Oh. Is he too tired? I mean, is he too busy to come?
Absolutely not. Mr. Schulman is very focused on finding the right solutions for the committee.
I can tell.
We've been talking about
it. Does he not respect the United States Senate?
He absolutely respects the United States Senate.
Maybe he's tired. Could he be tired? I looked up his salary last year. He made $71 million. Maybe he's been up all night counting his money and he's tired. Could that be it?
No, Senator. Mr. Schulman has only recently been appointed the CEO of Verizon.
All right, as many of you guys know, I cannot stop playing John Kennedy sound bites. It's kind of an obsession at this point, only because of the fact that he is just so clever and he just goes to places that most people don't even think to go to. So you got that one there. But it wasn't just Kennedy poking at Verizon. Keep in mind, Verizon was issued a subpoena, but apparently, and this is the key point to all of this, apparently they did not. Okay, so let's just actually, the subpoenas did not command companies to turn over the content of lawmakers' calls. Again, they were just the records itself, but the companies were bound by the non-disclosure orders to be able to detail this to members on the Hill. So keep that in mind. Okay. But Verizon, it sounds like, didn't really fight back legally when they were handed these subpoenas. And that's why they're being called out about this in clip three. Take a listen.
You as Mr. Miller, why didn't you do any of this?
Senator, at that time, and I recognize we should have had a better process here, but at that time, we did not train our subpoena analysts to do a searching inquiry into the subscriber associated with a particular.
What does that mean? What does that mean? You just didn't bother to try and associate the phone number with any name?
Senator, we respect the privacy of our customers, and we did not want.
Apparently not, because you turned over every piece of information from every senator sitting on this dais who got any illegal subpoena. You turned it over with no process at all. So let's skip that part. Just get to the part where you tell me why you didn't do anything that Mr. McAtee did.
Senator, the process we have in place now would largely...
I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in why you didn't do any of the basic investigation. Ask a question. You get a subpoena for all of these numbers, and your testimony is you just handed over the documents. You didn't do anything? Is that what happened?
Three reasons. Senator, so first, when we receive a subpoena, we do not know the nature of the investigation or the sensitivities involved. Second, as I mentioned, we train our subpoena analysts to respect the confidentiality and the privacy of our.
So you don't try to match up. You don't look and match up the numbers. You're telling me you don't try to associate a number with a name. You don't do that.
No, Senator. We do now for members of Congress, but that was not the procedure at the time.
Really? Because you testified to Senator Durbin not long ago that you disclosed all of the names to this committee of all of the people who are associated with the numbers, including mine. So clearly you had the ability to do it. You just didn't do it. Is that correct?
We had the ability to do it. Yes,
but Senator, you didn't do it.
We thought we had good reasons for that, Senator.
Why is that? You don't have any problem associating names with accounts when you go to bill people, which you do every month. I seem to recall getting a bill from you monthly. You had no problem associating my name with my number when you wanted money from me. But when it came to protecting the basic rights of your consumers, your subscribers, your customers, you couldn't be bothered?
No, Senator, I would not say that.
I would. I think I just did.
I would, too.
Senator,
why didn't you follow the contract that you have with the United States government? You've got a contract worth millions of dollars with the United States government, which obligates you to inform the sergeant at arms if you get any requests for processor information from a senator or any number associated with that contract. That contract was in place, and that language was in place when these subpoena requests came through, and you didn't do any of it. Why is that?
Senator, I don't agree that we've—
You don't agree with what?
That we violated the contract.
Really? The contract says that you are obliged to inform the Senate when any records are demanded. And I'm quoting here from a letter, not from Senator Graham, not from a Republican. It's from Senator Ron Wyden, who sent a Dear Colleague letter to every member of the United States Senate May 21st, 2025, notifying us that these contract terms were being regularly violated by your company, among others. So why didn't you follow the contract that you were making millions of dollars on? Why didn't you do that?
Senator, I get your frustration with this issue, but the contract—
No, I just want the truth. I'm frustrated because we get the runaround constantly. We've gotten it all day from you. So why didn't you follow the contract?
Senator, all right, folks, I'm going to step in on this. This is a big back and forth, but as many of you guys know, these senators tend to think that they are part of an exclusive class that should not have to— these types of things shouldn't happen to them. Apparently, they think now that these phone companies, when they're issued these subpoenas, should run their names to see if they're a high-profile official and should be worth some type of exemptions. I guess that's what they're trying to allude to, folks. But they're not better than you and I, and that is the truth in all of that. I want to get to exclusive breaking news right now. It looks like, as we reported earlier in the show, regarding the El Paso airspace being temporarily shut down, I'm being told by an administration official that the airspace was shut down due to Mexican cartel drones that breached the U.S. airspace. The Department of War took action to disable those drones. The FAA and Department of War have determined there is no longer a threat to the commercial travel. But again, they are specifically telling us that this is due to Mexican cartel drones that they just recently disabled and have prevented from launching an attack. Folks, this is obviously or possibly an attack. I mean, we don't know exactly what they were doing in our airspace. So keep that in mind, folks. This is obviously something that is very, very, that is a national security issue. That is a national security issue. I'll keep contacting people and trying to reach out. But folks, that is big, big news. Again, this is only happening now, it looks like, due to the fact that the Mexican cartel drones breached U.S. airspace. That is a very, very big one, of course, and they're right by Fort Bliss, so that is a big, big deal. And we'll keep following this, of course, as it develops. But again, that's what an administration official has just told me in response to all of this, so we'll keep our eye on just that. A lot happening here on this Wednesday, gotta say. It's quite the eventful Wednesday so far. A lot going on, a lot happening, and I'm just trying to keep up with all of this. It's a lot. It definitely is a lot. And speaking of that, you know, I don't think most Americans even realize it right now, but FISA is going to be up for renewal soon, and this kind of brings us back to the Arctic Frost stuff, because this needs to be, and everyone needs to like constantly post about this on their social media feed right now. Like, the American people need to realize what's on the table right now. We're going to do a deep dive in just a few moments. I mean, this is going to be a big one. Nobody's talking about this. FISA is up for renew. It's actually set to expire either on April 19th or the 20th. Now, this doesn't go through without Congress. And that's a key point to all of this. Congress has to give its blessing. And they're going to obviously be looking to do just that. Every time you hear the defense as to why we need to extend FISA, they always say, oh, it's because the president's intel briefings are based off of FISA. But there's no elements that stop them from being able to warrantlessly surveil American citizens. And in clip 11, Mike Lee actually brought that up yesterday. And I think it's something that we need to keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. And Senator Mike Lee did just that. Take a listen.
One of them that is particularly relevant in the coming weeks involves Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. As the name implies, this is supposed to be about getting communications of foreign adversaries, not American citizens. But as with what we're covering here, these requests from telecommunications companies backed by a non-disclosure order, so too with FISA 702. Somebody can, metaphorically speaking, be run over without ever knowing what happened, without ever knowing that they were victimized, perhaps ever, perhaps not for months or years after the fact, after the damage has been done, after their privacy has been invaded, after their constitutional rights have been trampled. That's why Congress has no business reauthorizing FISA 702, as it's being called upon to do in the coming months, without a warrant requirement applicable to inquiries involving U.S. citizens and other U.S. persons. The Fourth Amendment matters. And political warfare, lawfare, is bad. We shouldn't weaponize these things, and we should put in place protections to make sure that the Fourth Amendment's protections, fought for many centuries in this country, and that have a tradition that goes back centuries before we were even a country in England. These things matter. We have to make sure that they are not rendered dead letter. And I can tell you, we're heading dangerously in that direction now.
Obviously, we are all well aware, especially if you watch InfoWars, about the dangers of FISA and what they've done to the American people. It's crazy because the senator here in Texas, actually, John Cornyn, decided to go out. And this was about a year ago when they were trying to confirm Pam Bondi as AG, decided to come out swinging and defending FISA by saying that we needed it because of how important the intel was that we got from it. And he also went on to deny the fact that FISA was ever used to illegally surveil an American citizens. He said it never has. And he even labeled that as disinformation. This is what they're going to do. And Americans need to wake up. Now is the time to push back on FISA being renewed. Because, folks, they're going to continue to try to spy on the American citizen. Of course, without any warrants, they do this all the time. They try to get away with this. They try their very best to do just that. Now is the time for us to fire up on this issue. We need to be speaking out. President Trump was illegally surveilled due to FISA, and we need to continue to go out there and remind him of just that. There's no reason why they can't sit there and add an element of making sure that American citizens aren't spied on without a warrant. There's no reason. Absolutely no reason. They continue to lie to people like Cornyn by telling them, oh, it was never used against the American people. No, it was. It was. We have a laundry list of those cases. And actually, it was also used, by the way, on, and this is a nice little way to kind of swing over a bridge, BLM protesters were also illegally surveilled through FISA as well. So, folks, the evidence is all out there as whether or not these American or the American people decide to get together and to start speaking out on this issue. We got to get ahead of this. FISA is set to be renewed. Congress is going to be looking to do just that. Obviously, that's up in April. So I'm going to keep telling you, we might just do like a daily FISA update every day on this show because, folks, this is something that needs to be looked at for sure. For sure. In the meantime, though, speaking of something to look at, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. If you're looking to save on some of your favorite supplements right now, we're offering bundles. And the deals are actually really impressive. It's 50% off when you get the two bundles that we have up on the website right now. For an example, if you're getting something like the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, well, folks, that includes colostrum, methylene blue, methylene red. And instead of paying $210 for all of that, which is the normal value, you're going to get it for $99.99. So you got to head on over to the shop right now and make sure you snag these deals. They're only going to last for a couple more hours. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab it before it's too late.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it. Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot happening over here. As many of you guys know, it was kind of a frantic morning when we got word that the El Paso airspace was shut down. In case you didn't know, it was shut down earlier this morning. The report claimed originally that the airspace was going to be shut down for about 10 days, which is quite bizarre because it wasn't scheduled. But, you know, I went around, reached out to sources, reached out to both the FAA and the Pentagon as well, because Fort Bliss is actually right near that airspace. And so that's why it was so concerning at first. Well, we're learning more and more about all of that. And we did get comment back. A administration official tells me that the El Paso airspace was temporarily shut down due to Mexican cartel drones, which breached U.S. airspace. The Department of War took action to disable the drones. The FAA and Department of War have determined there is no threat to commercial travel. Now, since all of this went down, they're claiming that they're going to open up the airspace again, and so that temporary shutdown is no longer. But this is a big issue, a very, very big issue. And I want to make sure we get someone on who could speak to this issue, someone who's actually been working on this. Matt Tardy will be joining us in about 10 minutes, and he'll be detailing what this actually means. Now, he was the one who actually broke a story while filling in for me broke a story regarding the Mexicans military believed to be operating here in the United States. So this is a big deal. This is a big, big deal. So we look forward to having Matt on the program in just a bit. Again, he'll be joining us in about 10 minutes. So when he's ready to begin, you know, discussing all this, we'll bring him straight to you, obviously. But folks, that is a big, big issue. And we're all over right now. I'm reaching out to all sources to figure out what the heck is going on here. So we'll keep you in the loop as that develops. But speaking of developments, it's been quite the development, given the fact that President Donald Trump is going around and he's endorsing a lot of questionable people. But there was a very questionable endorsement that he made yesterday that had me scratching my head because it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. President Trump has now backed the re-election of Congresswoman Marie Salzer. And folks, this woman, she is a World Economic Forum puppet, this woman. He wrote in a post, and I'll briefly go over it, that she's doing a truly fantastic job representing the wonderful people in Florida's 27th congressional district. She's a former news anchor and political reporter, and Maria knows the wisdom and courage required to confront the corrupt fake news. That's a big issue, of course, that you want from your congresswoman. He goes on to saying that keeping our border secure, stop migrant crime. Apparently, that's a top issue, which is not the case if you're Maria Salzer. He goes on to saying that she has this complete and total endorsement for re-election. She will never let you down. Well, you don't have to dig too far into the archives to figure out whether or not that's true or not. Will Maria Salzer let us down? All you got to do is look back at what she said last week. And all you'd see is that this is a woman who stands not only for like amnesty, which is kind of wild, given the fact that she claims to be a Republican, but she doesn't want you putting your hands on her gardeners or her house cleaners. They must stay. And that was the message that she had in clip four. Take a listen.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables, and better fruits.
Ah.
So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
Ah, those are the ones. Those are the ones. Well, I know that there's been a record of, you know, just gardeners, people getting your jalapenos, those illegals, not just stopping at picking your jalapenos, but also going around and raping women in this country. So we're not going to sit here and pretend like they're innocent. And then when you start saying, oh, well, we're going to allow certain slave labor in this country, we're going to allow these people to work for a couple of dollars a day picking our fruits and vegetables. What do you think that does? Well, the worst of the worst are then going to disguise themselves as individuals who are just picking your jalapenos, Congresswoman, and they're going to use that as a way to get into our country and stay in our country. We have people here who want to destroy this country. I don't care what you do while you're here, whether you're just picking a jalapeno or two or you're just an innocent gardener. It doesn't matter. They all must go. To sit here and play this little game while we pretend like we need these people for our economy, we don't. We don't. It is slave labor, and that is exactly what they're advocating for. And I think it's pretty outlandish that President Trump has just backed this congresswoman. You know, I'm watching Laura Loomer on X, and she just keeps going after this endorsement because this is a really, really bad endorsement. This woman, who I went after her for, had no problem going to the World Economic Forum and not advocating for our freedoms, but instead was just getting in line with everything that you see that the WEF stands for. And that's exactly what's going on here today. That is the fallout. And it's super, super frustrating that the president continues to back these type of people. We don't need Maria Salazar. There's other. And if you want to just say, I mean, the entire area that she represents has incredible anti-communist, Hispanic, conservative, whether they're Catholic. I mean, they have a bunch, an abundance of great candidates in that region. We don't need to settle. We don't need to settle. This is the problem. This is the problem with these endorsements, is it doesn't allow other candidates to have their names get circulated. So we'll never do better. We'll never beat out the swamp. Why? Because guess what? People like Salzer get elevated pretty damn quickly in this party because they don't care. Nobody cares about these endorsements. We're just sitting here passing out nonsense endorsements to horrible candidates. And I've just had enough of this. I've had enough of seeing this. I don't want to be a black pill, but folks, the reality of it is there's no justification for this endorsement. There are other candidates who maybe don't have the biggest financial backing who we should be able to hear from them and allow the people in Florida to decide who they want representing the 27th congressional district. President Trump's endorsement here is not fair. We could do better. Maria is not the person to represent those in the 27th congressional district. It's just the case. And we keep doing this to ourselves. We keep allowing these crappy endorsements to get through. And I don't think President Trump even knows. Obviously, he's very busy. He has no idea what's actually happening here. But guess what? Guess what? They keep making their way in. Folks, I'm told Matt Tardio is going to be on the program in just a second. He is ringing into us right now. So once we get him, we'll bring him in on that El Paso story, because that's a crazy story that's breaking now. Obviously, a lot developing there. And we're keeping you in the know. I'm trying my best to pay attention to my phone, because that's where everyone's writing me right now as this story continues to develop. So stay put there. Don't get too upset with me as I continue to look down at my phone to figure out what the heck is going on right now. Sounds like Matt Tardio is up and ready, and he is joining us now to discuss. Matt Tardio is a veteran. He's a podcast host as well, and he's also a veteran member of law enforcement. So it's good to have Matt on the program today. Very last minute. Matt, thank you for jumping on with me. For our audience, you can find him at Anger Tab on X. Give that a follow. I wanted to talk to you about this because this has a lot to do with your original reporting that you actually did here on InfoWars just a couple of weeks ago. But let's just go over the overview, what we know right now. The El Paso airport, the airspace itself was shut down temporarily this morning. Now, originally it was saying that this was going to take place for several days. But since then, now the FAA is coming out and saying, no, the threat's no longer there. But according to those that I've spoken to, this has to do with, which is wild, but this has to do with a Mexican cartel drone, which apparently breached U.S. airspace. The Department of War took action to disable the drone. The FAA and the Department of War have determined there is no threat to commercial travel. So, Matt, break this all down for us, because Fort Bliss is obviously right next door.
Yeah, Fort Bliss is right next door to it, along with a major oil refinery that's also right next door to that airport. Mm-hmm. And so they close off airspace for 10 days below 18,000 feet. And there's two different things that we can look at when we're talking about 18,000 feet. One is obviously the drones. If they have the ability to detect incoming drones that are on their way over into the United States, obviously the main concern would be a one-way suicide attack drone. And the way radar works is it's all by radar cross-section. This is one of the issues that Israel has up inside of their northern border, battling these Hezbollah drones that are coming south into Israel. Because you have aircraft and things like that that are flying, the drones are going to have a much smaller radar cross-section. And so if you have aircraft that are flying through the area and you're used to detecting those aircraft, it's great. Well, when you start bringing that radar cross-section down, it starts picking up on, pretty much anything and everything that's flying, that's going through the air. So drones would be, the one main concern. The other issue that I ended up seeing was the elevation that they had closed everything off, essentially the floor for the aircraft that they're not allowed to fly below, which was 10 or 18,000 feet. The other issue that goes in with making sure that they're not going below 18,000 feet is man pads or, like shoulder fired surface to air munitions targeting aircraft, right? Like SA-7s is one that a lot of people are familiar with. Those max out at about 20,000 feet, and they most certainly would fall within the range, depending on where the cartel's at on that side of the border for targeting aircraft that would be coming in as well. When Trump was running for office, it was rumored that some SA-7s had made their way into the United States and that they were going to be using those to target his aircraft here in the United States as well. And I'm going to be honest with you, probably one of my biggest concerns that I've saw, because there was another NOTAMs that got issued out of New Mexico, if I remember correct. I wasn't able to verify that one before I came on the show. That's why you guys saw me typing and stuff. But it is one-way suicide attack drones while we are getting ready to, launch these attacks on Iran. So Maduro was rumored, all right, to have been giving diplomatic passports to members of Hezbollah. And if that's the case, and we have members of Hezbollah here in the United States of America, Hezbollah and the IRGC work hand in hand together. And, the IRGC and Russia also work hand in hand together. So one of the biggest concerns that I have at this point in time, knowing that we're looking at drone attacks coming over into the United States of America, is these one-way suicide attack drones actually being launched from within U.S. territory. From what we've seen going on over on the front lines inside of Russia and Ukraine is, some of these drones, and I've tracked them down on my own own accord taking the different components and whatnot. And you can build these things for fairly cheap off of, you know, these Chinese websites, throwing them together for under $500. And those drones in particular that they're able to slap together that pretty much mimic the Iranian Shahid drones have made it hundreds of miles, not one, not two, not three, but hundreds of miles into NATO airspace over inside of Poland. And so these are major concerns, you know, obviously that the United States would have. And I would think that this is in direct correlation with our upcoming strikes on Iran, and that they likely are going to have some sort of retaliation here in the United States as well.
Okay, so the interesting part here is the FAA shut down the airspace for 10 days temporarily, and obviously that's quite mm-hmm. strange. Do you like have any insight on that as to why, or just kind of a guesstimate as to why they would pick 10 days? I mean, it just seems very random, the timeline that they gave themselves after getting this, or after having to shoot down these drones, it sounds like.
Yeah, so you have intelligence, and your intel isn't going to, it might not give them a specific, you know, time frame, right? The United States government has intel networks. We have, you know, assets and agents that are running all around the world. So it wouldn't surprise me if we have them down in Mexico as well, that might say, hey, they have, you know, X amount of drones that they are prepared to launch. But they don't know particularly the time frame in which those drones would be launched from, and therefore they're going to take an overabundance of caution in order to shut it down. That way that they can actually close that radar cross-section out a little bit and be able to start identifying those drones as they get launched.
Yeah, well, that's also the really concerning part here. And, you know, we're not hearing specifically how they took down these drones. I don't know if I should probably, because I did assume and say that they shot them down. Are there other methods that could be utilized to take down these drones, or would it have to require the Department of War to shoot them down physically?
Yeah, most of the time they're shooting them down, right? Like the United States government has came up with some new anti-drone technology. It's been one of the biggest pains in the butt, like I said, over on the war in Israel. And they were working with the United States government. If everybody remembers the port that Joe Biden built that ended up costing U.S. service members their lives for a horrible, horrible project. You know, one of the things that actually got staged outside of there was one of these new anti-drone systems that the United States government had, you know, built and acquired. And we've been working with Israel to get these things down, but primarily it's shooting them down. There is new technology that's out there, in forms of lasers and things like that, that can actually just burn them straight out of the sky. There is also electronic warfare equipment, you know, GPS jamming, things of that nature. So typically, you know, when you're talking about some of these cheaper drones, they're first person view drones, kind of like, anybody familiar with Call of Duty that launches a drone and can fly it into their target, they're a lot like that. But a lot of them also have backup redundant systems that work off GPS, right? And so the GPS is guided into that system as well. So if you're able to jam that GPS, then you're doing a heck of a lot better. Most of them that are being utilized overseas are working with you know, either Starlink or cell signal, things of that nature. And they're jumping from server to server as they're going across. And so there is different ways to jam those. But the problem is it doesn't knock it out of the sky. And it's going to impact something eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see that being an issue here. And Matt, you know, the last time you filled in for me, you were talking in regards to a report that you were working on. And I actually reached out for comment. They never did give us comment back over at DHS, but there was the report that you were breaking down about possibly the Mexican military operating here in the United States, being given, and I'll let you tell the story to our audience in case they missed it, but being given possibly prior authorization to be able to use a certain area. Can you just detail what the latest on that is and what you've learned since then? Because that's another one. It kind of, for me, kind of sounds like the two of them might be maybe possibly related, but I could be actually swinging too high on that one.
Yeah, you might be swinging a little bit high just because of the distance in between of the two. Mm-hmm. But as far as the latest on it goes, DHS is completely silent. We've been told that there is an open investigation into the incident. And whether or not it was the Mexican military, which I am starting to seriously doubt and thinking that it's likely cartel members that just happened to wear the uniforms of the Mexican military and work their way into the United States of America. Questions as to what they were actually doing and what they were looking for on U.S. territory is a very serious concern. You know, you start thinking about regular old Americans. If you saw a bunch of guys in camo shaking door handles on your property, you're liable to shoot them, you know, depending on the area in which you're in. And I know a lot of Americans feel the same way. And you're talking about something that could cause a major international incident, you know, within that, especially when you have what appears to be uniformed members of the Mexican military, right? Not to mention what, you know, they were armed, they were carrying firearms. So what happens when, or if they would have shot members of the United States? I mean, that's also an issue, you know, U.S. citizens, border patrol agents, anybody that works for DHS, local law enforcement, et cetera. I mean, it's a problem. And again, no members of, you know, DHS, the Bureau, anybody that I can tell from the videos that I saw, there wasn't a single member of law enforcement from the U.S. side with them.
Mm. Well, Matt, we're keeping our eye on all of this, and I appreciate you jumping on last minute because I know you have a very busy schedule, especially because you do your own show as well. So thank you for jumping on with us. Grateful for that. We'll keep our eye on it. And if you hear any developments, feel free to shoot it over because we're trying to watch what's going on here. This is a big story. So thank you.
Of course. Yeah. And it's the main concern that right now with this attack going on with Iran and the amount of folks that are pushing here into the United States, retaliatory attacks by Iran leading up to this. So these could be some of the main reasons for delays. I got told, unconfirmed, by the way, that these were trigger-based attacks that are supposed to be launched against the United States. And so it could be right now that we're holding off on launching the attack on Iran until we identify more of these networks, because the trigger for these networks attacking us were supposed to be when the U.S. bombed Iran. And that's what I have been informed of.
Isn't that fascinating? No, that really is. That really is. And that's horrifying at the same time, too. I feel like we're sitting ducks right now.
Matt, well, that's what we get for having unsecure borders. I mean,
I know. Well, we've been talking about this, and I was hoping that the administration was making it a top priority to go after all the sleeper cells. But it's got me on edge these days, Matt. It's got me on edge. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Guys, give him a follow on X. He does incredible work. Anger Tab is where you could find him at. Give him a follow right now. All right, folks. I want to dive back into something else, too, as we continue to discuss what's happening all around the world. Specifically, I want to go with the report that came out from the Wall Street Journal yesterday about Nigeria. The United States is, according to their report, is sending 200 troops to Nigeria to train the country's military to fight against the Islamist militants. And this is according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, it's interesting, given the fact that why are we training them? That's concerning, obviously, that we're going to have boots on the ground. This is obviously something that this is a region that's obviously spewing with a lot of Islamic terrorists. And so when we hear that we have 200 members of our military there, I'm a little on edge. But in clip five that we're going to play for you, Congressman Riley Moore details specifically what he's hearing from sources in regards to what the current status of Christians in Nigeria is. Take a listen.
On the ground have described what's happening in the Middle Belt in the north of Nigeria right now in the last 10 days as a bloodbath. Potentially as many as 300 have been killed throughout that region of Nigeria. We've had this priest who has been kidnapped as well with 10 of his parishioners. Three of them were killed in one of the states of Nigeria where we had about 150 people killed. And I will point out, a lot of those were Muslims, actually, that were refusing to submit to Sharia law and were trying to follow the constitution of Nigeria. They were killed. But amongst those were also Christians, mm-hmm. and they were burned inside of a church. They set it on fire. So it's just wanton death and murder and destruction that continues. But working with the administration, we are making steps in the right direction to address this persecution. The president is very singularly focused on addressing this. We now have special forces in yes. Nigeria in mm-hmm. a non-combative manner. They're there assisting the Nigerians. We have just signed a security cooperation roadmap with the Nigerian government and their military to continue to work on this. And we have also conditioned their security assistance in the last state foreign operations bill and appropriations that was just signed into law by President Trump.
Yeah, this is a lot of movement. You were talking about that one area, and residents told Reuters the attackers that hit their village were jihadists. In fact, these Islamic radical jihadists are what are being pointed to. You and I have talked about them before. Mm. They had been preaching inside their village, urging the locals to abandon Nigeria's state and their religion, Christianity, and adopt Sharia rule. When the villagers refused, the militants opened fire on them. So you're right. It's not just the people who are already Christians. It's those who might be open to helping Christians at this point. And I know that Nigeria's president, Tinubu, has said that they've employed an army battalion to some of these areas. Are we making enough difference to where he's going to take some real action now?
Yes, but one of those actions that he needs to take, and he has said he stated this publicly just recent when he was prior to being president, was in the Senate or governor, rather, is that he wanted to see a federalized police force, which is absolutely something that has to happen. Mm. Each state has to have the ability to secure their own people. Right now, you just have the police force in Abuja. It's a national police force. We need to arm the different police forces of the states throughout Nigeria to be able to protect the Christians that are being martyred throughout this country and provide security in a country that is facing massive insecurity challenges because of this centralized control right now that's been taking place.
Well, look, Congressman Moore, I know you've...
All right, so I'm going to step in on this because, you know, I did verify this with sources who I do trust in regards to the report that you just heard from Congressman Moore, and they did say that, yeah, this is actually true. It's kind of hard sometimes to sift through the corporate media reporting on Nigeria and figure out what's true and what's false, because a lot of the times they're trusting sources that aren't actual sources in Nigeria. And again, it's a lot of misinformation there. But they did say to me that everything that you just heard Moore say is factually true, which is obviously very important, that Christians and Muslims are now being slaughtered by these Islamic terrorists. And the reality of it is it continues to be an absolute bloodbath in Nigeria. Now, again, it's deeply concerning that we're going to have U.S. troops on the ground, 200 of them, according to the Wall Street Journal, working with the Nigerian government and its military to try to train them to fight these Islamic terrorists. Again, folks, the government itself is extremely corrupt. This is very, very concerning. If word gets out, I have a bad feeling that these ISIS fighters, and there's a bunch of these different Islamic groups that are out there right now, specifically in Nigeria. I believe there's about four of them right now. Once they get word that the U.S. is there, they're going to do their very best to launch a massive attack. I mean, there's no way that they don't try to do just that. So again, folks, this has me on edge. I know it has a lot of Americans on edge, the fact that we are now going to be sending our troops to the region to help train the Nigerian military. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. So buckle up, folks, buckle up. In the meantime, though, I want to tell you all about the great sale that we have going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, it's 50% off with these two bundles that we've put together for you. It's some of our most popular supplements. We're putting them together to extend this discount to you. So let's say you're a fan of colostrum, methylene blue, methylene red. Right now, you're going to get a special deal when you get the bundle. It's the ultimate gut and brain bundle. It's going to be $99.99. That's literally 50% off. And in case you're looking for something else, maybe you're a Shilajit gummy person, or if I said it too fast, actually, it might have cursed, CMOS capsules, or the Atomic Defense, which we all need right now because we are in flu season. Well, we also have that incredible discount available over with our Modern World Survival Stack, $89.99. Guys, that's 50% off. It's going on right now for a limited time over at thealexjonesstore.com. Bundle over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells me what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or?
This is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor did.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At the Alex Show Store.com.
Oh,